Are you ready to experience something extraordinary? Cultural gems in Croatia, ancient temples in Asia, art in Italy. We'll take care of everything. Flights, accommodation, excursions, local guides and all that planning. Travel department. Let's see more.
The 8:45. The news was an essential ingredient. The cover-up was the main news item, the Widgery whitewash. Here on RTE was the news that an inquiry had just smeared the people of Derry. Those marching peacefully and orderly for civil rights were called rioters and bomb throwers. Oh, no one was surprised. No one here in the West, no one in our house. Cover-up, insult, turn that TV off, was the kitchen protest. Lies. Dad was finished with the news and settled down to read. Every room in the house was his study. When the house was full of visiting family and children, he wouldn't complain, just go and read in the car. But the post office was a peculiar and only an occasional place to read. He felt interrupted when a customer arrived. "I want to take out money from my saving account," the young man explained. "We're getting married." Dad asked, "Why inflict a lifetime of misery on the poor girl?" My mother wasn't amused. Remarkably, in the unhurried life of this North Leitrim village, there were two daily postal deliveries from Sligo. Village letters were issued to those waiting there in the post office to collect them in the evening. A small group gathered, expecting a letter from the Bronx or England, and were talking about the weather. His concentration was interrupted and he commented, "This is the post office, not the Met office." My mother took over. Her business, her neighbours. Office is closed, with the big iron bar closing the outer double doors. Now, to the routine of fire lighting. Zip, turf or coal are lit and a fire is coaxed to life. Heat will come later. Butane fire switched off in the office, unless it's the night to balance the books. All called to tea, as a fry is already on the table. It's warmer here in the kitchen. News is on. Tea over, and the pipe is lit and relit. Study interrupted by a knock on the door from only me. Sat around the struggling fire and talked about fires. The only me visitor had a solution to the messy process of fire lighting and talked about the new to the market Bordnamona briquettes. Clean, easy to light, but after a short-lived flame, petered out. So they agreed it was too expensive. They compared English and Polish coal. Newly gifted dried wood from a friend and neighbour in Greenon was praised and appreciated. These houses were hard to keep warm. Another jumper, maybe. The tea over, the visitor gone, another routine was about to begin. Between 9:20 and 9:40, it was time for the pub. Time for the club in the pub. Black pints with collars ordered and the club began. No order of business, no reference to previous business, just a prompt was needed. Maybe a 9 o'clock news item would prompt the discussion. All knew the decor here in the pub. The Guinness ad that Guinness is good for you went unchallenged. As did the Sweet Afton ad, Tashiad Awadnias Fair. They are far better. Although the Capstan ad assuring you that they won't hurt your throat was always seen as suspect. All lit up, tossed discarded matches on the floor, and the air thickened with Afton and Player's cigarette and pipe smoke as the time passed. The pub wall clock was the type you see in railway stations, but it was stopped and precisely stopped at 8:45. Earlier discussions tried to see a reason for this. Maybe they would return to solve the precise stopped clock's time. Maybe tonight. Why stopped precisely at 8:45? They began with the club looking for a prompt. Tonight's prompt was a good one, as the Common Market membership negotiations almost concluded. There was a promise and a warning for the Irish farming community. Most had farms around here and therefore had an intense interest. The promise of guaranteed price for beef was the deal breaker for many. That farmers could rely on £14 per hundredweight was enough to convince most. They had to balance that, though, against the expectation that farms would have to be larger to be viable. The club members took turns looking at the weight of cattle locally, asking how many hundredweights and tons were needed for a reliable family farm income. The progressive farmers, it was suggested, will build up their stock to fatten and maximise profits. That suggestion was tested by others, asking how much the extra feed would cost, how expensive would it be to feed in barns yet to be built for the winter months. A round of lagers was ordered by the younger group, who wanted to watch and listen to the club. They enjoyed the debate. They often had a bet on who they thought was winning an argument. They were reluctant to comment in case their views were challenged, and they appeared unprepared. The barman looked at one of the lager lads, asked knowingly, "Are you taking the boat? Are you for export?" Muttered something like, "Huh, another one." All knew he was and said nothing. They sat nearby under the 8:45 clock. Stopped. Still a reminder of something. But what? Was it the time of a significant death or a birth, maybe, at 8:45? The guaranteed price was widely favoured, but there was a worry about the suggestion there would be viable farm sizes. The club set to work, wondering whose farm would qualify now as a viable farm size. They agreed it was very few. And how would these inevitable, were they inevitable, changes to farm size, how would they take place? Oh, this was the club at its intimate best. They just knew the size of one another's farms. And as they explored, they would add that a neighbour also had land let on the 11-month lease. But they were shocked by how few farms would remain if the European plan was fully implemented. Even more insightful, or were they just guessing, was the intimate way they understood, remembered and could repeat without a moment's hesitation who inherited which bit of land, even down to roods of land, for example from an uncle in New York. Equally interesting, they would observe who expected to inherit. "Didn't we all?" asked one. Then, to how the changes to the farms might happen. They also seemed to know or were willing to speculate who had capital, who had dry money. One even talked of WHM, wife has money. And how well would they and their neighbours use the agricultural bank loan schemes to expand and be part of the viable farms with guaranteed prices?
Sponsored by Expressway. With My Expressway, free travel pass holders can reserve their seats online at expressway.ie or at our ticket machines in stations.
Are you interested in trying a new smartphone but still a little unsure? Do you want a phone that offers larger icons with louder sound and an interface that has technology designed for seniors? Well, why not choose from the Doro range by simply visiting doro.ie. Doro, make friends with innovation.
And then a quiet man arrived. All knew each other around here and nodded their recognition. They knew him better as a young lad. He was a nice, stylish midfielder as a young lad. He was a county minor, then club and county senior midfielder, and then London for over 30 years. So many of that team had left that the club itself failed to field a senior team for years. She couldn't fly back from Kilburn for club and county and pay Aer Lingus fares. And he began his precise routine. His Daily Mail said that the Paras did not panic. They did not fire indiscriminately into the backs of the Derry Marchers. And after that headline supporting the Widgery whitewash, that was to be the last day the quiet midfielder bought or believed that paper. Useful for lighting the fire in the morning, nothing more. The paper was smearing the Civil Rights Marchers of Derry with their lion headline. A pint and a chaser. Senior service cigarettes, a silver lighter, and the newspaper. He had learned how to fold it into a fraction of its original size. It allowed for more space on the cramped London tube. He had lived there for years. Home now, sat alone, avoided the club. Well, at least he avoided contributing. Seldom said anything. Began at the sports pages. Retired from a life in London, back home. And they continued. If the farms are to be larger and with mechanisation, they agreed that another round of emigration would happen, unless the other common market promise of industrialisation in nearby Sligo was in place to compensate. The clock face said Jones of London, Birmingham and Dublin. Still 8:45. Was it 845 AD maybe? A special Viking or monastic date? No, blind alleys, they felt. Something much more pertinent, more obvious, more local. And then back. Enlarged farms would mean more emigration, as if we didn't have enough. Someone asked if the emigration was from specific townlands or was it widespread? So they set to work looking at a specific townland. They all knew enough to piece together most of the families who had lived here. They sort of knew that this was a gap that they were filling. This should have been researched, but it wasn't, and there was a sense that Leitrim was overlooked, emigration was overlooked, and above all, these people, now in Leamington, Corby, Coventry, are overlooked. An overlooked people, doubly overlooked. One of the clubs said that a neighbour of his had seven sisters who went to London. He used to joke that they settled near the tube station called Seven Sisters. That seven sisters went to seven sisters. They were counting. Along one road, house by house. Who left? Oh, the view over the lake was fantastic, but he said you couldn't eat scenery. No interest in the land, in the family farm, no capital to begin a business, so he tried his luck in London. He was a timekeeper for one of the big contractors. Rain stopped play, stopped work, at about 9. He called them all into the canteen. They were near Liverpool Street Station, one of the East London Essex lines. No let up in the rain by 10:30, so he called it a wet day and everyone went home on full pay. But two waited behind, asking for overtime pay. They said they had intended to stay late. They wanted time and a half. He ran them. Previously, he had been senior staff in one of the West End's most prestigious hotels. Always generous to any young ones trying their luck in London. His neighbour was on the Western Front, then the Desert Campaign, different wars. A brother of his went to China, spent a lifetime there as a missionary, and another brother, a vet in India. By the lake is a small cottage. Franklin Delano Roosevelt's valet spent time here. And then, looking out on to the river flats, he had lived there for a while before he went off to Australia. On the bend is a long deserted house, which was originally a fine house. Owner left for South Wales, became a union organiser, then Labour politics, then mayor, and then ennobled. Then to a house by the river, an image of garden parties, tea and scones type of thing. And after a few years living here, she went back home to coastal Dorset. Tucked in off the road is a farmhouse. They're herding sheep. A shout goes out that he sees that the Yanks are coming. The Yanks, the cousins. Now these are softly spoken Yanks, deeply involved in Boston Irish dance and music. Their neighbour qualified as a surgeon, and he has gone to Canada. He loved cars. Driving an E-type Jag as a student in Galway. Yeah, even as a student. So this is the story. Every house has a son in Canada, or Barking, Bournemouth, or a daughter in Brittany. Then the next house, the son became the head of the NYPD. His neighbour went west from New York and had a fleet of taxis in California. The next one, well, he was a subby. The Irish subby in Britain needs a whole book dedicated to them. He was a ganger first, and then he set up his own civil engineering business. Wagons on the motorway. Next family went to America, to South Africa, and to Australia. There was four in the next family, two to America and one to England. They didn't know where the other one went. Their school classmate went to Washington, not DC, the other Washington, the state, and her brother went to South America. Two from the next family to England, and so on. Time to pause, time to order the next round of drinks, black pints with creamy white collars. One was talking about a semi-humorous, deeply distressing play about the West. Its theme was to sell off Connacht, as emigration has almost emptied it, wall it off, and let the Yanks have it as a playground. They all agreed it was funny, but not very helpful idea. Then the debate that wouldn't go away. Was this push or pull? In other words, did they have to leave, or was the pull of the bigger world like New York the magnet? Again, they explored the reason, as far as they could guess, for their neighbours and their families leaving. The medics and nurses, artists, actors, filmmakers, teachers, builders, barmen, they all needed opportunities in England or America. In fact, it was said that in Birmingham you could leave one job at lunchtime and begin a different one in the afternoon. Now, the club thought this was a bit far-fetched, but they took the point. The pull of England and America were almost overwhelming. By the time they had explored these townlands en route to the village, they were elated, dejected and angry. Elated that theirs was the academic equivalent of a local study. And then why, they wondered, was this not worthy of serious academic research? But dejected that there wasn't a family without emigration. They were fascinated also by the range of the new homes of people in Montreal, Lancaster. Someone pointed out that there were almost 100 orders of priests and nuns sending missionaries abroad. And they wondered if missionaries were emigrants. But the anger with the politicians was clear that it was just accepted. And then back to the clock. The quiet man with the folded paper said he had a suggestion about the clock. The club were surprised that he joined in. He said his mother told him that when he and his sister went to Birmingham, before moving to London, she stopped a clock in the house. She stopped the clock at 10 minutes past 10, This, she said, was a trick of the clock and watchmakers to advertise their clocks at 10 past 10, looking like a smile. He went on to say that when he and his sister left home, took the boat, his mother, he said, stopped the clock at the smile to help her, to remind her to smile. It was hard to smile with them gone. He continued, he wondered if the clock face held a clue, London, Birmingham and Dublin, and the others joined in, maybe rearrange it, Dublin, Birmingham, London, there, they had it. It was stopped at the journey time, the boat time. The clue was the quiet man calling it the boat. Train or cab to Killooney, train to Dublin, the 46A to Dunleary, in time for the mail boat, the 8:45. This was the boat. This was everyone's experience of leaving for England. Here, in front of them, the clock was the constant, unspoken, embarrassed reminder of the boat. "Are you taking the boat?" he asked. News at 6 about the Widgery whitewash and the boat, which never made the news, at 8:45.
An will phone poke a nuawet, an will knappy no fum nis orjawet. Nis eskele husod, faker na phone eintuk atal gwyn, an cho, eg daro. An vone klishte is dani, gidi gohan la hai glina agus taskina. Ta rod egin go gachtina. Ta nismo olis eg daro.com.